Okay, the two most important things are my website and my email. Okay, my website is www.pgrosser.net and my email is p.grosser@rcn.com. Okay? And that's where I check for things you've sent me. The other thing that I should tell you is you should always keep the things you send me, the assignments, the emails, and for all classes that you're taking that involve a computer, until you get your final grade for the class. So you should hold on to the stuff that you send to people. You should hold on to the email that verifies that you sent it on a particular date. All of those things are your guarantee that you'll get credit for the work that you did. So you should do that and hold on to everything until you get a grade for the course. Okay. We are looking at HTML. So I'm going to go over there and look at HTML. Now, I listed the things I'm looking at under the week of, but I'm actually going over to examples because I don't always list everything. I did it just because it was the first week. So I'm going over to examples, and examples is where I have a whole list of things. Okay? I moved past the linking ones, and I'm going to come back to those in a minute, but I'm going to continue on the way I was going and looking at CSS for now, and then I will go back and look at the linking. Okay, so we looked at the CSS5 headers. By the way, there's an attendance sheet floating around, and a few people have come in late, so when it reaches the top, why don't you send it back around so that everybody else actually give it to me, and if you came in late, come up and sign it at the end. Where has it gone to? It's right there, okay. Again, you need to contact me once a week, okay, via email to let me know you're still actively involved in the class, okay? Okay, so I'm going to look at CSS headers again, which is where we left off. So what I've got here is I've got the first three headers that I applied some style to. I also applied style to the page because you can see that the page is beige and most of the code is brown. That, believe it or not, is red. It doesn't show up as red particularly well, but hopefully it does on your machines. It does on mine over here, just not over there. Okay, so if I look at the source, and I look at view page source, that shows me the code. Okay, so there's the code that I have for this. So you can see the code down at the bottom. And at the bottom, it shows the things I want to put up here. It shows some headers. It shows a paragraph. It shows a couple of lists. Those are the things that I want on my page. Now, originally, HTML was developed by scientists for our scientists, and they were conveying information. They didn't much care what it looked like. Okay? Then they started, other people started using it, they added style, and they were embedding a lot of the style down here, and so it was making it harder to read and figure out what it was you were putting up there. So CSS was developed. And CSS takes the style and puts it in its own area so that it doesn't interfere with the page. So this is CSS. So up in the head, I put in style. And notice there's style, there's closed style. And if you forget the closed style, you'll probably see the white screen of death and nothing will show. So be sure you have style and closed style. Okay? Now, the style is a type, means it's written using CSS. At one point, they thought there was going to be more competition, but CSS seems to have won the war. And so everything is text/CSS. So now I can set up style. And I set up style to associate with a particular tag. There's more sophisticated ways of doing it that we're not going to look at in this class. But for now, we're just looking at associating it with tags. So I said my body, which is the page. I want the body to have curly braces here and here. And inside those curly braces, I'll tell it what I want to know about the body. And so I set it up, and I say background color. And if you go to W3 Schools, which is a good resource, and you look up background color, it will tell you how you can use background color. But background color sets the background for the page. Okay? It can also be written as background, but background color is preferred. Then the next color is the font color. And so I'm saying default font color. I want a default to brown. Now that means I'm defaulting to brown. But down here on the H1, I said no. I want H1s to be red. And so the default color gets overridden for H1s, and they become red. Okay? So H1, anything that has an H1 tag will be red and will be in the center. Okay? And again, it's inside the curly braces. Anything with an H2 tag will be blue and will be aligned over to the right. Anything with an H3 tag will be green and in the center. And the UL tag and the list underneath it will be colored red. Okay? So I set up the style for certain tags. Don't have to do it for all of them. I didn't. I just set up the style for certain tags. If I wanted paragraphs to be in blue, I could have put a P up there and changed paragraphs to blue. Okay? So, now when I look at it, I see that my background color is indeed beige. And there's a lot of stuff that has a color of brown, because that's the default color. There are other things that changed. For example, this UL, that was an unordered list, and it is now red. Okay? So it is now red. The H1s are now red. The H2 is blue. And the H3 is green. So if I look at these, I see that my H1 is red, my H2 is blue, and my H3 is green. Okay, so I've got styles set up for those. So I'm in charge of making my page look good by positioning things, coloring things, and making it look a little more interesting. And there's a lot more than you can do with this. As I said, we're just doing the basics. If you get interested in it, W3 Schools is a great resource to expand your knowledge.
What
questions? Now, the next one, I said CSS list. And in this one, there we go. Keep hitting the wrong place. On this one, I didn't change the background color. I left it the original white. But I said I want the default color of everything to be red. Okay? Then I said, okay, paragraphs, I want to align to the center. So here's a paragraph down here. And I want it to align to the center. And 2EM means I want it to be twice the base size. So twice the size it would have been otherwise. So 2EM is going to make it bigger. And in fact, you can see up at the top, this is an introduction to HTML, and the other things are aligned to the center, and the bottom line, it really doesn't show up much that it's aligned to the center because it's pretty much full. But the top one, it shows up. So the paragraph is aligned to the center, and it is double size. The font size is double. And then the LIs, I said I wanted to all be green. And so over here, I'm seeing all of my LIs green. Okay, notice the last time I referred to the UL, this time I'm referring to the LI. Either one of them work. Okay? But by referring to the LI, I'm talking about anything in either an audit list or an unaudited list. So all of them get turned to green. Okay? Stop me if you have a question. Okay, now I'm getting into an image. Okay, so now I'm adding an image to my page. Keep looking for a better way to do this. And right now I manage to do it completely backwards. Well, anyway, here is the page, and now I need to look at the code. Okay, the code is done with image source. So right now I'm saying image source, and I told it the name of the image. Okay, CISA.gif, and it has to be enclosed in quotes, okay? The underlining was put in by the browser. So I'm now saying image source equals CISA.gif, okay? Now, CISA.gif has to be in the same folder, okay, so that it can find it. So this has to be in the same folder, or I need an address. So if it's not in the same folder, I need to put an address in there so that it can find it. It defaults to looking in the same folder. So as long as CISA.gif is in the same folder, I'm happy. It will find it and it will show it. If it is not in the same folder, I need to put an address in, okay, to tell it where it can find it. And the address, if it's in a folder right beneath the folder that I'm currently sitting in, right now I'm sitting in my website, which is pgrosser.net. And I'm sitting in a folder called CIS17 and another folder called HTML. Okay, so that's the address, and I may have more, I don't know. Yes, I had more addresses. So right now, I am sitting in PeteRosa.net. And then under PeteRosa.net, I'm sitting in CIS17. And under CIS17, HTML. And under HTML, HTML5. And finally, I've got that page. HTML. I've lost the L. There it is. Okay. So right now, here's my page. I'm in PeteRosa.net. And underneath that, I have a folder called CIS17. And under that, I have another folder called HTML. And other than that, I have another folder called HTML5. And that's where my page is. And that's where CISA.gif is. In the same folder. Okay, so they are both in the same folder. So when I load this page, it goes and looks in that same folder and it finds CISA GIF. So it's in the same folder that the page is in. If it's not in the same folder, I need to give it an address so it can find it. Okay, it's not going to check my whole hard drive. It's not going to check the whole internet. I've got to give it an address where I can find it. If it's an external page that's somewhere on the web, I give it an HTTP address. And I give it the whole address of where I can find it. Okay? So, to make life easier, I put it in the same folder, and then I don't have to worry about that. Okay? Questions? Okay. If what I just said makes no sense to you, ask. Because now it's your responsibility. I've done my job. Now it's your responsibility to ask if you didn't understand what I said. And at least 10 other people will thank you if you ask.
So would you save the image to your folder first before you...
Yes. Yeah. No, I move it over. If I don't, when I test it, it won't be there, so it will look like there's a problem. So I put it where I want it to be and then do it. Now, if I'm doing a professional page, I'm probably going to have a subfolder called images or something, and I'm going to put all the images in there. But for our purposes, because we're just kind of playing around at the edges of this, it's just simpler to put any image you want right in the same folder, and then life is easy. Okay? Okay, the next one is a centered image. Okay, so this is how you tell it to center an image. And this is a copy and paste. I want to have the image, his image. And these are the rules that they came up with to make me center the image. There used to be a much more straightforward way of doing it. But this is the way that is come up with to center the image. So I take and I take the tag image. This is an image tag. And I take the tag image, and I said I want to display it as a block, and I want the margin left and the margin right to both be auto, which is, means automatic, and it kind of put, makes them the same, therefore, and that makes the images centered. So it makes the left margin and the right margin the same, and that ends up centering the image. Okay? So this is the way I center an image. And again, it goes down here with image, source equals, meaning the source for the image. But the word image tells me that I have an image. One thing I want to point out, just as an aside, when I have done most of the things that I've got an open and a close. So HTML, I open, and way down at the bottom, I have a HTML with a slash in front of it that I closed it. Here I have a head that I open and a head that I close. A style that I open, a style that I close. An H1 that I open, an H1 that I close. Image does not have a close. For whatever reason, image doesn't have a close. Okay? So I do not have a close on an image. The other thing that doesn't have a close is a BR, which is a break. And that would make sense, because BR means just move down to the next line. Why would you have a close to that? But image doesn't have a close either. Okay? So, that does an image and centers the image. Now I've got a table. This is kind of a interesting thing that I can create. I can create a table on my page. Okay. Now this table has two rows and it has two columns. But I can choose how many rows and how many columns I want. So I've got here two rows going across, and I have two columns going down. Okay. It tends to figure out how much room you need based on the data that you put into it. So on the second row, I have data that goes all the way over, and so it determined the length of each column by that data that I put in on the second row. On the first row, I put in an image. So it determined the height of the cell based on that image that I put in. Okay, these are called cells. And it determined the height of the cell based on the fact that the image needed that height. And it determined the width of the cell based on what I wrote down at the second line. So it kind of maneuvers things to get you the look that you think, that it thinks you want. Okay? Again, when you get into more sophisticated HTML, you can play and manipulate that too and tell it I want it to be a certain percent or a certain number of pixels or all that good stuff. Okay? So, now we're going to look at how we did that. Whoops. Okay. So, to make a table down at the bottom, you can see I started out my body and I've got a paragraph in there. And that's the paragraph up at the top. And then I put in a table. And I just write the word table. TR stands for table row. So notice that I have, if you can look at it, and I bring it up on your screen because it's down low up here. Notice that I have two rows. That's the first row, that's the second row. And each row starts with a TR and ends with a TR that has a slash in front of it. So it starts with a TR and ends with a slash TR. Then the TDs are set up to show me what I want on the row. And this first TD matches with that. And it writes, this is the first cell of the table. And the second TD takes the image. So the TDs show me the things that I want on that first row. And then when I get down to the next row, it shows me the two things that I want in that row. Now a table needs to balance. So I can't have two things on the first row and three things on the second row. I've got to balance it so that they have every row, every column. Think of a spreadsheet. You got to have the same rows and same columns, and they've all got to line up. Okay? So if I decide I want three rows up at the top, I'm going to put three rows down in the next row as well. I'm sorry. If I want three columns, I have to do it both places. Okay? So I have to have them match. Does that make sense? Now again, once you start getting sophisticated, there's ways where I can say I want one of these to be the width of two others, and I can do all kinds of jerry-rigging, but we're not going there. But there's a lot more flexibility than what I'm giving you right now, okay, if you want to expand your knowledge. So now when I finish with the second row and close the TR, I close the table, I close the body, I close the HTML. Okay. So that gave me a table structure. Now, I wanted to have the table have a particular look. And actually, I wanted a lot of look. So I said I wanted the body to have a color of navy for the font. No background color, just that. I said paragraphs, I wanted to move over to the center and double their size. I said LIs want to be green. And I should have pulled this out, but I left it just to show you that it doesn't matter. Okay? This is that wonderful thing known as copy and paste. Okay? I copied and pasted from an example that had a list in there. So LI green was on a previous version. Does it mess anything up? No, because I don't use an LI. Okay, if I used an LI, then it would make it green. But because I didn't use an LI, it's fine. And so I basically left that in to make that point. This is not used. Okay, could be removed. And again, it's that wonderful thing known as copy and paste, which gets me in more trouble than anything. Okay, because I copy and paste and then don't notice that, oops, I shouldn't have copied that. Now I said I wanted the table to have a border of thick. And if you look at the table, you can see there's an outside thick line around the whole thing. And that's caused by the table having a border that is solid thick. Okay, and if you again go to W3 schools and look up border, they'll give you all kinds of borders that you can have in there. Dotted lines, hyphens, zigzags, whatever. And then I said each TD should have a solid thin border. So notice around each cell, I've got a solid thin border. That's because I said each TD should have a solid thin border. So that was giving me a look. And because I didn't change the color, the borders are also in navy. So this color navy up here that applied to the font ends up applying to the borders as well. If I wanted to, I could have changed border color and made it something else. But I didn't. So it takes the default color that I put up in the body and applies that to the borders. Okay? So the borders are all navy. This cell I wanted the image in. So inside the TV, I said image, source equals CISA GIF. Just the same as when I wanted the image someplace else. Now I've put the image inside a cell, so it's inside a TD. Your assignment for this week is to make a page introducing yourself, and we'll go back and look at that. You don't have to use all of this stuff, but the more you do, the more credit you're going to get. So if you make a fairly complex page, that's worth a lot more than a very basic page. Okay? Your requirement is to do a basic page. But you can earn a lot of extra credit, basically, by making it fancy and complex. Okay, so the more you add of these things that I'm covering, the more you can make it get lots of extra credit. Okay. Center the table. The only difference here is I want to center the table. So again, if I look at the view source, the way I centered the table is this. I just wrote margin auto. Okay? And margin left auto, margin right auto would also work. But that's another way of doing it, is to say margin auto. And that puts the same margin on either side, and it means that it's centered. So that margin auto caused it to be centered. Which I think the table looks nicer when it's centered than it did when it was over against one side. But that's the wonderful thing about spreadsheets. You can make it look the way you want it to look. Okay? On spreadsheets. Web pages. Okay, now I'm going to go back and look at linking. So I'm going to pick up link page. Okay, if you're in examples, it's the third from the top. I'm going back and looking at that.
Notice I have two things here that if I click on them, I should go someplace.
It works for the first one, it doesn't work for the second, because I didn't set it up correctly. So the first one goes someplace, the second one brings up an error. Okay? So I did not set that up so that both of them would work. I just have one that works on this. So if I look at this, and I do a view source, this is how I link to another page. I say A each reference equals. Okay? A for anchor, H reference equals, and I tell it where the page I want to go to is. Now, again, this is in the same directory. This is in the same directory or folder.
If it is not there, I need a full address or an address. And we'll look at that in the next few examples. I need the address to find it. So again, for our work in this class, if you want to go to another page, I put the page in the same directory because it just makes life a lot easier. Okay? But reality is, and we'll look at that in the next few, that lots of times you want to go to another place on the web or something like that and you need to give a full address. Okay. So, if you look at this page, come on, you can do it. If you look at this page, you can see again where it is located. Okay? So, again, if I look at this, I can see that I've got pgrosa.net. And then I went to CIS17, which used to be the name of this course. And then I went to HTML. And then I'm going to HTML5. And inside that, I've got HTML5 link page. .html. Okay. And I should also have another page. .html. And if this was working, I should also have newpage.html, but I don't have that, and so it doesn't work. It could be that I don't have anything called newpage.html. It could be that it's just not in the folder, so I can't find it. But either way, newpage.html doesn't work. Another page.html does. So if I look at this, another page.html is going to have the same address, pgrosa.net/CIS17/HTML/HTML5. It's going to be in the same directory. Okay? So, if I come back over here and I click on another page, notice it does have the same. It is saying pgrosa.net, CIS17, HTML, HTML5, and then another page.html. So it's got the same path, which means it's in the same directory. I actually created this page in Word a long time ago, which allows you to create HTML pages, not to pass into me, but it allows you to do them. And if you look at the view page source, you can see what it does for you. Okay, this is an old version, but it still makes something equally complicated. It makes this, okay? So it's a lot cleaner when I write it myself than when I am using Word to create the HTML. Questions? The next one has more links, and we're going to look at that. Okay. So this is, again, look at the address. All of my examples start out in pgrosa.net, CIS17, HTML, HTML5, and there's the name of it. Okay? So, if you look at these, I'm linking to different places. So I'm going to do a view
page source, and I'm going to drag this over, and we're going to look at where I'm linking to. So, on the first one, I said I want to link to my CIS 120 homepage, and I'm going to give the entire address for it. So I've got over here, ahreference equals, in quotes, I put the entire address, which starts with HTTP, okay? Starts with HTTP, colon, backslash, backslash, www.pgrosser.net, and then I go to PFG CIS 120, which is apparently located right in my root. There's no subfolders here. CIS 120 is located right in my root. So if I go to pgrosser.net, it's right there. Okay? So that's located right in the root. If it was located a few folders in, then I'd have to have slash folder, slash folder, slash folder, until I finally got to it. This one is listing a folder and then a page. So what that one is doing is saying, I want to go into all the folders to where the original page here is. So go to this page. And then underneath this page, there'll be something called sub-HTML5. And that's where you'll find what you're looking for. So I will go to the page, to the address that has the original page. Okay? So, I am going to go to this address, and under HTML5, there will be a folder called sub-HTML5, and that folder will contain file in sub-HTML5. .html. So in other words, I will go into my website. I will go to pgrosser.net, CIS17, HTML, HTML5, and then I will have a folder called sub-HTML5. And when I go to that folder, I will find the file I'm looking for. So I'm saying, continue on and go to sub-HTML5. And if we do it, we'll see that address. Okay? So if I come over here and notice the address that I'm at now, I'm in HTML5. If I click on link to a file in a subfolder, what do you think I'm going to see?
Shouldn't that bring you to the file
of
HTML5?
Yep. So there it takes me. It takes me to CIS17, to HTML, to HTML5, and then to sub-HTML5, which is where I find my file. Okay? So now I'm going to pgrosser.net, CIS17, written it often enough, you think I did it right? CIS17, and that's, by the way, lowercase I and S. And then down to HTML, and then down to HTML5, and then down to sub-HTML5. Where I will find file in sub
HTML5.html. The original page is going to be right here. Does somebody have the name of that page? I don't remember what it was. Go back up one. I can't because I'll mess up my ink. Go back one and tell me what page is here.
It's HTML5.
HTML, wait a minute, it's capital 4.
Yeah, uppercase HTML.
Okay, so it is HTML what? 5.
5 and then lowercase more links.
More links.
.html.
.html. That's not part of it. Okay, so that's that page. And beneath that page, it has a subfolder which has the other one in it. Okay? So I go to HTML5, I bring up this page. When I click on the link in that page that says go to the sub, it goes to the sub and finds that. And if you're smart, you'll put everything in the same folder and then you don't have to worry about this. But anyway, it's something worth knowing anyway. You look at it. So now I'm going to go back and look at what I had. So if I come back here, link to CIS 120 page, it does it. And notice the address. The address is exactly what I had when I said link to it. I said link to HTTP and I put that address in. So it linked exactly to that address. If I go back and click on the second one, it goes to what we talked about as the address. CIS17, HTML, HTML5. Sub HTML5 and it finds that page. Okay? Question or stretch?
Stretch.
Okay. And if I go to the last one, let's see where that's going to take me. That says just go to HTML5 link page.html. So where's that located? Where is this third one located?
Under HTML5.
Right, in the same folder that I'm currently in. So it's under HTML5, it's in the same folder that I'm currently in. Yeah.
What's the A for again?
Anchor, actually. Notice when I write the address, I start out and I say a reference equals and I tell it the address. However complicated it is, I give it the address. Then I close, so to speak, this tag. So I have the less than and greater than and I'm closing that. This is what will appear. So on the page, this will go on the page to click on. Okay, so what I write in there goes on the page to click on. And then I have to put this A in there because I am now done with the A. So I close the A. So what I basically have is the A, and it's got the stuff about where I'll find the page. Then I have the words that will appear on the page. And then I close the A. So I have an A, but it has some stuff inside it that tells where to find the page. The H reference is inside the A. And then I have the words, and then I close the A. And then the BR is simply because I want to move down to the next line. If I didn't want to move to the next line, I wouldn't have the BR. And then they would be one round after each other on the same line. But the BR moves me down to the next line. But notice the A has information in it. And the information in it is the H reference equals. So it tells it where to go. And that's inside. That's inside the A. And then I have the words to click on. Okay, so these are the words to click on. And then I close the A. So this is actually the most complicated thing I think we've seen, is the A, then I put in where to go, and that finishes off the A tag. Then I put in the words that I want to appear, and then I do a close of the A tag. And where to go can be as simple as go to another page, go to a subdirectory, go to a whole different place than HTTP. So where to go is a fairly sophisticated direction thing. Questions? Oh, there should be. Come on. Questions? I wouldn't have got this the first time. Come on. I want questions. Thank you.
What does the H ref stand for?
Oh, I wish you'd asked a different question. Oh, I don't remember. Somebody go look up H ref. That's why you're sitting at computers with browsers in front of you. It's a reference to a place, and I don't remember what the H stands for.
Hypertext
reference. How nice. Okay. Hypertext reference. Okay. Somebody ask me a question I can answer. Okay. Okay, and if I go through this one, link to the first page about links, it goes back to there. Okay, so now I'm going to go to the subfolder, and that has two more links in it. And if you wanted to get there directly, there it is right there directly. Okay, there it is. There's a copy of it. But I'm going to go in through more links, and then I click on link to a file in a subfolder, and I've got two more links. So if I do a view page source, one of them is linked to my home page. When I link to my home page, notice I just give the address, pgrosser.net. The reason that this works is that the page that you see is index.html. So when you go to pgrosser.net, the page that comes up is index.html. That allows people to just give a web address to go to their site. The first page that you hit when you go to a site is going to be index.html. I believe it can also be home.html. And I think it may even be main.html. There's several different names.
but most people use index.html. So you set up your main page as index.html, then when I say go to pgrosser.net, it knows that it should load index.html. So my home page is saved on my directory as index.html. Okay, so when you go to my site, index.html is the page that gets loaded. Okay, so that means that, you know, on the back of trucks, you can write an address without writing slash and the name of the file. Okay, if I write pgrosser.net/index.html, my home page will come up. Okay. But that happens courtesy of the browser. Okay, the other thing that happens is this dot dot slash, which means back up a directory. Dot dot slash means back up a directory. Okay. So, this means back up a directory. So it means I'm sitting here, I'm right now here. If I back up one, I will be here. Okay? So if I back up one, I'll be there. This page is located in HTML5. So if I say back up a directory to find it, it will back up a directory. And you can get carried away with all of these things. You can have dot dot slash and back up multiples and then go back down in, and these addresses can get very complicated. Okay? I'm giving you back up one, go down one, we're stopping. But you can have some very sophisticated things. Essentially, I'm lazy. And if I want to find something, I just write the whole HTTP address rather than send it up two, down one, across three, whatever. I just write the entire address with HTTP, and then I know it's going to find it. Okay. Questions?
So you can do that with everything? Just write the address?
You can always just write the whole HTTP address. And in fact, my laziness shows up because I do that more than one time. Just write out the whole address. In fact, okay, here is my page here. Now, this is actually in a frame, so I have to go to view frame source, but there are all of the addresses. And of all of these examples that we just looked at, and there they are, HTTP, www.grosser, pgrosser.net, and I just copy and paste and change the thing down there. And those are the addresses to all of the different things we're looking at here. Target equals top, you can totally ignore. I'm inside a frame. Frames are not considered a good way to go. I like them anyway. So I use frames, and with frames I need target top. So you can pretty much ignore that, but what I wanted to show you is the address over there. The target top is within the A, so that ends the A. These are the words to click on, and then I'm closing. So those are my addresses to send you over to something.
question on one of those.
Yeah.
On a lot of the other documents, you had doctype HTML on the top, but when you look at the entire view source of the page, I don't see that. Why?
That's because do as I say, not as I do. I mean, that's seriously the reason. This was written long before HTML doctype. Doctype tells the browser that it's HTML5. This page was developed probably 20 years ago, and I just changed, I used the same thing, but I changed the content. And back then, we just wrote HTML. Notice a lot of these things are in capitals. Now we do them in lowercase. Back then, I did them in uppercase. So it's another value of copy and paste. You know, I basically, when I start a new year, I take this page, I clear out all of the stuff down here on week one, I leave all this stuff in, and then I start adding to the page, rather than redoing the page. And so, as I said, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, whenever I wrote this page, it
has never been revised and upgraded. It just stays the way it was. Okay? And I changed the content.
Do you think the standards might change so you might have to update it at some point or not?
Probably, but I'm lazy and... No, do I think they're ever going to not allow this? Not in my lifetime. Can you imagine the screams if all of people's pet dog pages couldn't be accessed anymore? And all of the, I mean, you know, they deprecate certain things and say you shouldn't do these anymore, but they still support them because they don't want to get the feedback that my, you know, my page isn't working anymore. They don't want to hear that. And so they do a lot of historical support. And
good thing it's not owned by Microsoft.
Huh?
Good thing it's not owned by Microsoft.
Yeah, no, and that's the other thing. Actually, Microsoft's browser is the one I would recommend you don't use for development because it's not compatible in some ways with all of the other browsers. So I definitely wouldn't use it. I use Firefox and check things in Chrome. And then I check things in Explorer because I want it to work. But I don't use start out with Explorer. I start out with the others, get it working, and then take a look at what I've done and how it's coming up in Explorer. Okay. So... I've got too many things open, and I'm going to close them and lose everything. So we're going to start all over again, I suspect. Okay, well, let's take a look at your assignment. Here are some sites that you can take a look at. You may find a dead link because I'm not sure I checked them. I checked them in September and they were fine, but I'm not sure I checked them over Christmas. I can't remember. But these are some articles, but if you don't find one that's interesting, the two topics that I'm interested in are learning styles and time management. As I mentioned last time, you get credit for this course for the CSS 101 or CIS. Does anybody know what the number is? 111, 101? It's got to have a 1 in it someplace.
CIS?
Yeah, CSS.
CSS.
Oh, CSS.
Which is student learning. It's a one-credit course.
A 101.
Probably. I could go and look, but I'm not. So anyway, CSS 101, or whatever one the college requires that everybody take. It is embedded in this class, so you don't have to take it separately. It is part of this class. And one of the ways that we made it part of this class is by saying, figure out what your learning style is and figure out how you're going to manage your time past the course. Okay? And that it pops up a lot in different things. But essentially, those are two important things. How do you learn best? Because then you can figure out how to basically adjust your learning. If you learn better by reading, if you learn better by images, whatever you learn better by. And time management is what people struggle with. Okay? And people that don't pass this course, usual reason is time management skills. Okay? And I understand, we all have lives that have more than 24 hours of commitment per day, but essentially time management gives you some ideas about how you can manage your time to be successful. So you have to read those. Okay, read a couple of articles. And then you're going to come down after you've read a couple of articles. And I said, first read the articles. I want you to read at least two da-da. And to take a quiz on learning styles to kind of help. A lot of the sites have quizzes to take. Okay, write a web page introducing yourself. It must be done with HTML that you write from scratch using Notepad or Notepad++, or if you have an Apple, whatever their text editor is. So this should be done not necessarily with Notepad. It should be done with a text editor. Okay? A text editor. In other words, you can't do it in Word, because Word will add extra things and it's not going to work. So it has to be done in a text editor. Include your name, include your major, and what option you're in. Include a little bit about your background, jobs you've had this semester, etc. Include your goals or plans for after BC. Why did you come to BC and choose this major? I want to see a picture of you. I do terribly with names. Possibly seeing images, etc., will make me eventually remember who you are. But don't hold your breath. It took me a long time to remember my husband's last name, and I knew I was going to marry him, and I still couldn't remember his last name. So... anyway, don't expect much from me in that area. Your page should include information you found about your learning style and about time management, a plan of how you're going to manage your time. Okay? So basically, you're going to develop a web page to introduce yourself, and it should include all of these things. If it's a basic web page, that's fine. But if you add a lot of bells and whistles and make it, you know, use a lot of the things that we've talked about, then you're going to get extra credit, okay? And you can build up some points so that you can mess up something later on, okay? So that's your assignment. And questions? Yeah?
The assignment's due by Thursday?
Yes. By a week from today. Okay, everything is due the Thursday after it is assigned, after the week it's assigned. Okay, except for quizzes, and quizzes I will post periodically, and those will usually have a much more limited time, you know, a 3-day or a 5-day or something like that. Okay. And if you miss a quiz, you don't get any credit for that, but I always put up a extra quiz at the end that can make up for one that you missed. Yeah.
For the quiz, is that just filling out the, where we did the survey, basically?
That's not a quiz. That's not a quiz. That's okay. Just... Actually, that survey, I don't get your answers. I just want you... I'm believing you. So you send me an email telling me you did the quiz, did the survey, and I will believe you. Later on this semester, we will go back and do something, picking some of the things from that survey to respond to. Okay, but right now I just want you to, more than anything else, I want you to think about those things. What we do later on is I will assign each of you a mentor that is in the field, that is an alumni of BCC, that graduated from here and is now working in the field. So I will give each of you an email mentor. They're not going to meet with you, they're going to meet with you via email. Okay, because they have busy lives too. And basically, one of the things that I will ask you to discuss with your mentor will be those things that were on that survey. What ones do they think are the most important, and why do they think they're important? And that sort of thing. Okay, and then the other thing the mentor does is tells you a little bit about what they're doing in the field and that sort of thing. So it gives you an opportunity to ask questions of somebody that's working in the field and find out what they're doing. Okay, yeah.
Are these mentors CIF, from the CIS program?
Yes, yeah. They're all people that graduated from the CIS program. Okay, and I try to match with your option, but I'm not always successful in that because I teach mostly programming, so I've got more programming people than anything else because those are the ones I get to know the best. And they're all willing to help. It's a good group. I've got about 40 to 50 somewhere in there. And so each one gets multiple people. But when I contacted them and asked them to do it, I had nobody say no. You know, everybody said yes because, you know, they had a job. They were more than willing and interested in helping somebody else in the field. So that was a really good thing. Okay, I'm done. Thank you. You can do the CSS.